Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the online radio show funded and run by members of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. We're a charity organization spanning the entire globe, attending charity events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll discuss your favorite topics in Star Wars, from the Sith to the Jedi, from the Empire to the Republic. We'll cover it all and everything in between. If you enjoy our show, visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com. And now, from our studios across the world, your hosts.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, your host, and with me this month I have Frost, come on, from our Talon clan in North Carolina.
Hi.
We also have Thaxos from our Vetnade clan in Winnipeg.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Pinocchio from our Veshot clan in Mississippi.
Hello.
Mareel from Maine with me in Wampa clan.
What's up, my mercs?
And we actually have a new cast member joining us now, Mr. Crow, as he's known on the forums. He is also in Wampa clan in Maine. Say hi, Crow.
Hi, Crow.
So, Crow, you actually have a background in radio, right?
Yep, I went to school at New England School of Communications up in Bangor, Maine, for those of you who know where that is. But, I'm here to do the radio speaky, voicey thing, microphones and talking to walls and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very happy to have you with us. When did you join the Mercs?
I joined the Mercs, joined the boards, I want to say, about a year and a half ago, somewhere around there. Became an official member in November. Actually got the message about my getting into the Mercs officially on my birthday last year, so that was kind of nice.
Nice.
Happy birthday to you. Retroactively.
Are you guys okay?
I'm fine.
Dandy.
So yes, this is Crow. He will be joining us now from now on, and hopefully he'll bring a lot of radio experience and stuff with us, you know, help us improve the show.
Do you have a sexy radio voice?
I know how to get great coffee.
That's all you need.
So, wait, does this mean now that we have to have, like, I don't know, like business card promotionals and handouts, like be the seventh caller?
Yeah, that
which would be really interesting thing, because you know this thing is recorded, so
they could call in all they want.
Yeah.
Hey, we could just seventh caller. They won't get live on the show, but seventh person to call my cell phone after this episode's released is the person that wins.
And then 3 weeks later, you're gonna have everyone calling you.
Well, it'll probably be my parents, considering they call me all the time. So that'd be a really awkward like prize giveaway. Here's some chest armor. You're never gonna
Mom.
Use it.
Hey, Mom, I made you some chest armor.
Here's your toy Jawa, Mom. Now's Dad.
So, that's that.
Yeah.
Moving on, if you haven't heard, the Tor beta is out. And if you don't know what Tor is, that's the Star Wars The Old Republic video game. It is kind of a sequel to the Knights of the Old Republic, which had two games, came out about a decade ago, actually, almost. And it's going to be an online MMO, yada, yada, yada. We've talked about it a few times in the past episodes, but now the beta is out, and we actually have two members of the podcast team that got to play it. Actually, three members.
But he played the old and smelly version.
So, Frost, Thaxos, Crow, if you guys want to take it. Tell us all about the beta. What did you guys see? How did you like it?
Well, it's really complicated because they introduced the concept of using a mouse and a keyboard, which is, as far as I'm aware, very new with a Star Wars game. Something I've never done before.
Really?
No. No, that was all a lie. I'm sorry. Sorry to do that to you.
You had me going. Damn.
It's that radio voice. He's very convincing.
I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But I was, I had fun with it.
Yeah.
Basically, from the big thing I've noticed, and this is something that was worrying people who kept up on the game, is that the game is obviously being made by BioWare, who are the people who made the first KOTOR game, as well as Dragon Age and Mass Effect and all of that jazz. And blending of the conversation with the combat has... It seems to be doing pretty well. same sort of deal as with Mass Effect. The conversations didn't really get in the way of shooting people in the face, and in Tor, it doesn't get in the way of shooting people in the face.
That's good.
The one thing that was worrisome was the race-class combination system, because if anybody played the first Dragon Age or the second Dragon Age, your race and class selection was heavily restricted and very dependent on one another. For example, if you played an elf, you can only play 2 out of the 5 classes, whereas if you played a human, you could play 5 out of 5. If you played a dwarf, you could play 2 out of 5. That sort of jazz. And it really screwed with your story. Whereas in Tor, in the current build, it seems like they've decided they want to take a more liberal approach to it, where you can play lots of races as lots of different classes. For example, humans can play as everything because, you know, this is an RPG and humans are obviously the most balanced and versatile of any race that's ever existed. And apparently so are Zabrax, too, because Zabrax can play as everything.
All they have are the little spikies on their heads. That's the only difference.
Well, they're tough and they have 2 hearts too. They're basically Time Lords.
Yeah, never thought of that before.
Yep. Mm. Time Lords.
That sends a crossover.
Yeah.
There's ships better not be police boxes.
There better be police boxes.
Well, I guarantee it's an MMO, and MMOs are always full of pop culture references. So I guarantee somewhere there will be some kind of TARDIS reference.
It'll probably just be one indescript just standing on the very edge of a map.
It'll probably just be a single Zabrak standing out, like, in the middle of a field with, like, a blue cairn next to him or something, with a little light on top of it, wearing a trench coat or something.
At least a dog.
Or a fez.
And then when you kill him,
he's cool.
He's wearing a trench coat, a fez, and a giant, weird-colored scarf. Anyways, back off. But
so you can play as any race and then any class on top of that?
No, there are a couple limitations.
There are some limitations, but yeah. Like Tro said, they're basically very, very slight. Like, for example, they have Cyborg, which is a cyborged human, as a playable race, which is kind of an homage to Darth Vader, I imagine. And they can only play as 2 classes, but they play as 2 classes on each faction. Whereas there's like other faction limited stuff, like Miri Allen's can't be anything Sith, and the Ratataki, the Chiss, and the Trueblood Sith are all limited to the Sith faction.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like you're going to have a certain degree of freedom, and they've also announced already that they're planning on putting in a system by which, through playing the game, you can create characters that aren't supposed to be of one fact, or not one faction, but of one class or another. This may include cross-factionalism, it may not, but theoretically you might be able to, say, create a Chiss Force-using class if you've beaten the game as a Force user or a Chiss, for example.
Yeah. Supposedly it's pretty... One thing that I like about it, I'm not huge on MMOs for the most part, because I don't like having to find groups to constantly raid and all that sort of stuff. I don't like having to be in a guild. It's so far the builds have let you solo pretty well. It's a pretty narrative game, more so than most MMOs have been. And it looks like they're trying to keep that as a pretty good focus. Like,
in
your
addition,
character has a story.
Yeah.
And you kind of go along with that.
The game is also a little more active. It's more equivalent to, like, anybody who's played MMOs, or a lot of MMOs like I have, City of Heroes or Champions Online, where there isn't really like an auto attack button or hit spacebar to kill. You don't really get to do anything like that. You sort of have to pick and choose what attacks you're using. You have to make sure you're in the right position, because the game is a full 3D environment, so there are chest-high walls and crap all over the place that will block projectiles. Timing is actually important as well.
Very, very important.
So, for example, let's say you're in a PvP encounter and you're playing as you have a trooper and then you have a bounty hunter fighting each other. Troopers are all about the big machine guns and burst and sustained damage, whereas bounty hunters fire rockets, and rockets clearly do burst damage. So the trooper can duck behind pillars anytime he sees a rocket incoming, and that will hurt the bounty hunter in that particular scenario. Granted, the bounty hunter can also do stuff like fly up in the air. which just allows them to shoot around everything. That's why they have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got different resources, too. Like, some resources count up, some resources count down. I particularly like the troopers, which is ammo.
Yeah, bounty hunters have heat.
Yeah, which works basically heat. The inverse of the trooper.
Yeah, it's like you have a... it starts out, you say your weapons are all cold, but as you use your abilities, the amount of heat that you're generating builds up until you can't do anything anymore. And then you either have to wait for it to cool down, or certain abilities have more cooldown than others. So you have to balance that with what you're doing.
In addition, bounty hunters also have certain abilities that don't take any heat.
Right. And that's where the timing comes in. Like, you use a big heat ability to do some damage, and then you do one of the no heat abilities to give yourself some leeway before you do something else.
For example, rockets and stuff generally don't give you heat, whereas most of your blaster attacks do. So you can sit there and like fan out your double pistols or whatever, generate a bunch of heat, and then shoot a couple missiles.
I played Sith.
I was about to say, everybody plays Sith in this call, I bet.
Yeah, do you think this is going to be one of those games where everybody plays a lightsaber character?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I've seen a lot of balance.
Yeah, truthfully, the other classes are just as rewarding as playing a Globat person. Like, from what I have observed, playing the other classes gives you a lot of sort of dynamic range that you don't necessarily get in Jedi characters, because Jedi characters always have to maintain proximity. Mm-hmm. And they have gap closers, but then lots of the range classes also have gap generators. You know, like, oh look, a smoke bomb that just teleports me away from you. You know?
A lot of knockback attacks.
Yeah. And so keeping a Jedi away from you is not necessarily as hard as it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
The DPS classes for the two casters as well, because the Sith Inquisitor and the Consular, basically they have a mana bar.
Yeah.
And
their force bar.
Whatever.
Yeah, same.
It's their midichlorian count. And
the midichlorian bar.
And
I'm running out of bacteria, need to wait.
Let them spawn. But so they the way they work is they have like sort of a caster version that you can spec into, and then they've got a DPS version, and either of those can heal. Yep. But their DPS class, rather than being focused on running around and, you know, punching holes in people's faces, is actually more about like debuff and party buffing and doing stuff while they're attacking. So they do some damage, but in addition, they do this really nice thing that makes your, face punchers punch faces harder.
Mm-hmm. So they're basically like a buffing character, like in WoW, a druid or a shaman.
They are always supporting. Well, in WoW, there's a lot of cross pollination because there's a lot of whining in WoW as far as class balance goes, and they're trying to balance like 9 classes, whereas these guys are only balancing like 4.
Mm-hmm.
In WoW, it's 9 classes with 3 different primary specs each of which can be done another 2 ways. So they're actually balancing like 64 unique roles.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, they're balancing like 16.
Yeah.
So it's not nearly as hard for them, especially since they're divvied up, because they only have to balance one faction versus another faction. They don't have to do internal balance trees. So basically the game has better balance than WoW does. Even though there are a couple gameplay features that are a little reminiscent, they mostly seem to have cherry-picked stuff that's good from WoW and taken out stuff that's annoying, like white damage. There's no purpose to white damage. You aren't doing anything cool. You don't look fancy while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you're constantly having to maintain awareness of where you're at in relationship to your enemies. And right now, the enemies don't move around too much unless they're in like a big scripted fight to do so. But they've already announced that they're working on changing that to make sure that the fights are engaging and Star Wars-like.
Mm-hmm. So do you think there's enough variety in the game to keep people interested?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Something people don't know about the game too much yet is the fact that you get completely different stories based upon first what your class is. So if you pick like a gun-toting class, you don't get the gun-toting class and the force-using class story. You'll get
you just get one.
Yeah, you get a story for the Jedi Knight. And it will be in the same zone as other people's stories. And you may even have some of the similar objectives for certain missions. But your narrative story is completely different. And once you get up to level 10 and pick your subclass, it diverges even further. So you can actually play through the same class, you know, twice and get an entirely different story.
Mm-hmm. And even then, certain races, like I played a... the only alien that I played so far was the Sith Inquisitor, and there was a fair amount, because I was playing the True Blood Sith, and there were a fair amount of classes related specifically to being a True Blood Sith.
Yes, I played it. Wouldn't have gotten otherwise. JK, yep. And they get a whole bunch of their own special stuff, too.
Yeah, so. As far as I know, humans don't get anything special like that, but I don't know if I just missed it or didn't notice.
Yeah, the way they probably ended up doing it was they segregated the race features of quest lines such that Mira Luka can get a similar quest line regardless of what class they're playing. Humans probably get one too, but since it's for every class, pretty much everyone's going to have access to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So have they announced any kind of price tiering yet?
I think they have. I think that's up on the website.
Is it going to be the standard, like, 15 a month?
I believe so.
Yeah, it'll probably end up being pay-to-play, and if it's not, it's probably going to be pay-to-own, free-to-play with a
in-game store,
extended store, which is becoming the sort of new standard model.
Mm-hmm. So how honestly, would that I'd work, really?
The way that works is basically you have an upfront investment, which is whatever the game costs, which is $60 or $1 million, however, whatever super duper pooper scooper special edition you bought.
Yeah. Actually, it is a subscription based. When you purchase your copy, when you purchase your copy, you get 30 days subscription time, after which you have to start paying. So you can pay 1 month for $14.99 US, 3 months is $13.99 per month. But it's in a one-time charge of $41.97, or it's a six-month and a one-time charge of $77.99.
It's generic MMO fees, everyone.
Yeah.
Insert your pay-to-play model here.
Yeah. I think WoW's been using that model for probably 10 years now.
WoW actually stole that model from EverQuest 1, which used that since, like, 1999. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think if they did anything else other than that, that might turn some players off. Because they're used to that model.
Well, I think if they made it cheaper, I think that would kind of turn some heads in their direction.
Well, free-to-play has actually become the new MMO base. If you go and look at MMOs out there, the vast majority are free-to-play or are transitioning into free-to-play. Literally, the only ones right now that are major MMOs that are still subscription-based is Star Wars Galaxies, except, oh, wait. And... slash station. Pretty much most of the station ones that require subscriptions, you can get them all for $15. And then World of Warcraft. And that's it. Everything else has transitioned into free-to-play, except for, like, Age of Conan, which is going dead.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, and EQ2, I think, is the... Oh, no, it's EQ2 or EQ1 is still running on a pay-to-play basis, but...
Mm-hmm. So you said they have, like, a store set up?
Basically, the way that works is they sell you items in-game that are not loot items. So, like, DDO, which is Dungeons & Dragons Online, for those of you who haven't played, the way they run it is they will sell you items in the store that are non-gear items. Because you require certain items to do certain things, like if you want to respec, you have to loot a specific item, or you can buy one for the store for like $2. If you want to do a better kind of respec, you need a different item, and that one's $4, etc. In Star Trek Online, you can buy all kinds of costume parts from their store, and then you can buy special upgraded versions of ships, of which you're allowed to get one when you normally hit max tier, but you can buy the other two out of three options from the store.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And generally, they will do stuff like City of Heroes has done, where they release content about once every month or two, and they price it right at around, you know, like $10 to $15. And you can get like a big pack of content that way with all kinds of cool stuff and new missions and everything. That's another thing DDO does. It sells mission packs.
Mm-hmm. Generally, so, with the in-store items, they don't really give much of an advantage over if you were just to play the game.
Well,
you don't usually get guns or armor or anything.
In PvP, they are never an advantage intentionally because people whined about it in RuneScape because, well, it was stupid. So... Yeah. It became who is the largest walletscape. So
then every once in a while you'll get something like you can expand your backpack by like 15 units or something by paying yeah. some money, stuff like that.
It's just functional things. It's generally it's like in WoW, the WoW yeah. game store where you buy like a bunch of crappy cosmetic pets or like a redesign for your character so you can change their race and name, but you can't change their class or level, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how in-game stores generally work. Chances are they'll end up having one in Tor for costume parts or whatever, because they've already announced that you're going to have quote-unquote armor kits, which will allow you to, like, have the appearance of one thing, and then you can also right-click on your chest plate and say, set paint scheme, which doesn't let you change the paint scheme, but it repaints all of your armor so you don't get clown-suited.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can match, you know, if your chest plate's green, you'll be green.
Well, you can. Nice. You can also turn it off. If you really, really want to be in a clown suit, you can turn that option off by right-clicking your chest plate.
Right.
The game is designed to be cosmetically appealing, to appeal to sort of the Mass Effect story crowd, but in addition, and to be simple enough to understand for people who aren't necessarily in it for the role-playing game aspect, like they're in it for the role-playing, not the, like, you know, dice throws and number crunching.
Yeah.
So far, it seems like it'll probably be a pretty successful game by merit, not just by, you know, Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any kind of exhibitions at Dragon Con, maybe?
No, didn't go.
For Tor, yeah.
No, Tor did not.
Yeah. Tor is I would have expected them to, because that
BioWare
seems like
is based in Austin, so they probably did San Diego.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Con is not really a corporate convention. Very few people actually do demonstrations at Dragon Con unless they have an ulterior motive. Like both, because Age of Conan did one in 2008 and Global Agenda did one in 2009. And both of those are companies that are based out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured since we're here already.
Mm-hmm. So... Speaking of Dragon Con, it just passed, and I think a few of you guys were there, and we actually had a special event go on there. We inducted Tamura Morrison, the actor who played Jango Fett, into the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club as an honorary member, and he was thrilled from what I can tell by the videos.
Pretty awesome.
I got a picture with him.
He danced for us.
Yeah, he performed a haka for us.
He did,
that tongue thing.
Yep.
Part of the haka, yeah.
Well, no, it's a Maori taunt. It's like a battle thing.
Well, from what I understand, it's also a respect, honor kind of thing, too.
Yeah, they perform the haka for a lot of different things.
Yeah. Like, I know when Lord of the Rings filmed in New Zealand, when they started filming and ended filming, all the tribesmen of the area came and performed a haka in honor of the filmmakers.
Bringing them tons of money and hobbit feet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everybody loves hobbit feet.
Yeah.
Can't go a day without mine.
So, I think, Sean, you were there, right?
Yep. That was a blast.
Yeah. It was... Frost, were you there?
Are you kidding me?
Want to know?
You should have seen the pictures. I nearly killed Sean.
It's true.
That's not that hard to do.
Well, like, it was actually...
It's pretty unexpected.
Yeah, it was pretty unexpected. I didn't think it was going to happen, but
Eric's got this lovely new toy.
Yeah, I have a weapon chain. I have a weapon chain, and we were doing photos of it. And it was actually great. Riv Cerulius, Matt Zayer, was taking pictures for us. His Flickr account is called Zayer Photo, and he's basically a giant badass if you want to go and check it out. But he was taking pictures, and he actually flinched the first time I used the chain because he thought it was going to come up and hit him in the face.
Yes, we were all expecting the chain that Eric was whipping around rather violently with this lovely metal spike on the end to kind of have the spike fly off or something horrible go wrong. That didn't happen at all.
Because I'm awesome.
Instead,
and,
though.
And I make good weapons. Instead, the one of the claws, because many people don't know this, but the left hand of death, the claws are actually on each finger individually. And so one of the claws got the blade on it, caught in one of the links of the chain, and just flew off my finger and smacked into Sean probably at like 15, 20 miles an hour. Just
yeah. And of course, I was standing closest to Eric, and I was joking, oh, don't worry, I got metal armor.
I'll be fine. Donk!
And along comes Eric's claw flying off his hand.
Yeah, mind you, he's not wearing his helmet or anything. So, like,
where did it hit you?
Oh, just in the chest. So I was covered.
Yeah, he was good. I don't even know if like the pointy part hit him or not, but I didn't see any damage on the claw, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Any damage on the armor?
Nope.
I mean, probably a scrape somewhere, but you can't really tell with Sean's paint game.
Just
so
one more piece of battle damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with Tamura being inducted, that's actually all of the major actors that played Fett characters in the movies. I believe there's only one that hasn't been inducted, but you only really saw him for like 2 seconds.
Who is?
And he wasn't even really a Mando character.
Who are we talking about?
The guy that played the Jango clones walking around, the like teenager, early 20s version.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, and we also technically are going to have to grab the voice actor from the Clone Wars TV series.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, I'd like to come to get Clancy Brown, too, for playing Montross.
That'd be cool.
It sounds like we're collecting figures.
We are.
We're collecting pets.
Real people figures.
These are like the foil cards of honorary memberships.
Yeah.
See, when we actually induct members... When we actually induct the members, Tom actually grabs some genetic material, and we actually clone them, and Tom has them in these lovely glass cases in his house.
You should see them. It's like Alien Spore. It's nuts.
No, you were not supposed to talk about that. Edit that.
So how's Tom's Mando compound coming along?
So far, we have finished the bunker. And
the chicken coop.
We're working on the missile site.
Yeah.
Did he finish burying all the school buses as his command center?
Really?
So, in broader news, speaking of Dragon Con, we had a good showing there this year. We had our own booth again. We've had it for a couple years now.
43 Mercs, I think.
Nice.
I was discussing it with Nova. Well, there were 43 on parade day.
Yes, that was amazing.
They're actually, yeah, because IMSA wasn't in the parade. He was doing, I think he was filming. So there's at least 44.
Mm-hmm.
Zion was there as well, and she didn't march in the parade either. So 45.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something about that. Yeah.
I don't know. I think there was something about 60 total Mercs members, but a number of them were unable or unwilling to go to the parade because the parade is hot and tedious and sweaty.
It's like a 2.5 mile walk, too.
Yeah, well, have you seen how I walk in the Sudoku?
It's totally worth it. I gotta say, first time doing it, amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really fun because, I mean, there's how many people do they think come to that parade?
Thousands.
It has to be like 20,000.
Well, lots of people who come to the parade aren't even people who go to Dragon Con. They're just people who come watch the parade. So
yeah, it's like the busiest time of the year in downtown Atlanta because like 20,000 people just come and they park and they walk to see the parade.
Yeah, well, there's no way of telling how many people actually come and see mm-hmm. it. So,
but it's literally like a 2 mile or a mile walk.
Mile, because we're all fat nerds.
Yeah, it's a mile walk. And there was just like a solid column of people on both sides of the street all the way down.
I actually watched a documentary about Dragon Con, and wow, the guy who started the parade actually said, and us of the nerdy type have a certain rotund physique, and as such don't want to walk very far, so it's only a mile.
Will they even give you a bus ride out to where you start, and then you walk back towards the hotels?
They give you bus rides now?
Just what? Out to the start, and you walk back to the hotel? What's funny, though, is... It's
yeah, when did that happen? In 2008, I did that parade, and they didn't give us that.
I was about to say, I did that parade the same year Sean did, and I didn't get none no bus ride.
Well,
I think Sean's just making stuff
well,
up.
You can also actually hop the MARTA, and you can get off the station right there.
Yeah, my friend wasn't as Republic Commando, though, so he had to
hop
on the
bus. Station that's literally... No, the MARTA...
It's in the hotel.
The MARTA is, in fact, a train. I know that they don't have those in Canada.
He wanted to take the bus, and then so it ended up being like a Republic Commando. There's like this Wookiee half crouched on the side of a seat in the bus, and all sorts of other characters too. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's always funny when you see stuff like that at major conventions. Like you remember the tour buses that were taking people back and forth from the hotels to Celebration 6?
Yeah.
And like we were all piling into those buses, just waiting. And then I look over, and there's just this rebel pilot sitting on the bench waiting for the city bus, like a block away. And he's just sitting there in his orange jumpsuit with his helmet, like sitting next to him on the bench. And he's just sitting there, like just looking forward. And it was the weirdest moment for me for some reason, because you know, it was just like so surreal because he's just sitting there waiting for the bus.
He needed a cardboard sign saying something like, lost my X-Wing looking for red.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts about going down to Boston every year, because we take the Amtrak from Portland to Boston, and then we have to ride the T in from North Station onto the convention center, and most of the time I just have my helmet out or something, or there's bits of armor on my bag, so, you know, if the train's crowded, I'll just put the helmet on.
Nice.
People just kind of stare, and they're like, dude, that is awesome.
As a matter of fact, speaking of awesome stories, on the way back from Celebration 5, Matt Zaher, again, Riv Cerulius, and myself, and Emma, who is Veilier on the forums, we actually were all driving back, we were passing cars that just had stuff scrawled on them in soap, generally Star Wars stuff. And so what ended up happening was Matt Zaher and myself ended up wearing our helmets for about 15 minutes in the car, driving down the interstate, and people would pull past us honking because they'd look over because they noticed the fact that everybody else had Star Wars stuff going on their cars, and they'd just look over and see two Mandos sitting in a car in the passenger in the driver's seat. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, tell you what, if Anime Boston, if everybody gets together to go next year, we should just like ride the Amtrak in armor.
See, well, I just want to be standing next to one of those see something, say something, like public safety signs, just wearing the armor.
And DragonCon 2009, myself, Bill, who is Tal Greheed, who actually does our intro announcements, he's the voice of Keldami Talk Radio, myself, Lucas McCoy, and one other person who I can't remember who it was. It may have been...
I was there in 2009. Remember what you guys
I don't know if it was you, but we all went to Walmart. I ended up buying a big thing of bagel bites. But we all went, and we decided last minute that we were all going to wear our shins and boots. Like street clothes. So we're wearing like pants and shorts. I was wearing jeans. And I've just got these military boots and then these big purple shin guards that look sort of bladed at the top with, you know, big black lines and everything on them. And,
Anybody stop you or look at you funny?
We got some interesting looks. Bill was wearing shorts at the time.
And a bathroom
ensemble just doesn't go.
He's got, like, big hairy man calves and he was wearing his boots over his on it, so... It was like big hairy man calf shins. It was beautiful.
Yeah. DragonCon Monday, I decided I was just going to kit up anyways. And staying with Devin Key and Dresden Rain and a couple other the NASClan mercs. we were staying a couple blocks away at a hotel, and they drove David and Mary drove everything back to their house.
House?
Yes.
The Hoose.
The Hoose.
But myself, Brian, and John were still there. And I was still in armor, and all my luggage was back at the house. So I rode back in the car in armor. But that's not the worst of it. Apparently, Brian's car doesn't function properly with door locks. So John didn't realize this, and he ended up locking the car to the point where we couldn't get back into the car. So we walked down to like a police station. I was in full armor, walking into a police station. We're trying to. No, I did not get a shot. I did get punched a couple times at Dragon Con. But
yeah, Dragon Con's crazy. Yeah.
Dragon Con, if you haven't been able to tell by all of our wonderful stories, Dragon Con is essentially a 4-day party.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it as your first convention if you, at least in armor. I would probably do a smaller one, like, well, dare I say, Adventure Con or something like that.
You'll feel like a lame duck if you don't do it in costume, so you really should try doing another convention first.
Yeah.
But, it's a huge, I mean, it's not as bad as, like, San Diego Comic Con, because that's actually horrible. But it can be, I mean, because you can't really stop anywhere. They're always wanting to try to move you along. Mm-hmm. So it's, especially like in the hallways, like the Holiday Inn, I think.
The real important thing about Dragon Con is that Dragon Con is a costumer's convention. Because there are literally 20,000 people there out of the, let's say there's 60 who go, are in costume all the time.
And they're going all out on the costumes. It's not like a store-bought.
Yeah. Well, you'll also see costumes there that you will never see anywhere else.
Right.
For example, Beatdown Boogie just posted up a couple videos that you can watch.
That video is amazing.
Yeah, that you can watch and just see their costumes. Like, you'll see people there, and there's a whole group of these guys. There's like 20 of them. They've got a car and everything that do Mad Max and Road Warrior costumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like, where else will you see Mad Max and Road Warrior costumes? And it's not like just, you know, random I'm wearing bits of trash and stop signs armor. There's like canon characters. Like, they've got Lord Humongous.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of other crap going on. It's really cool.
Yeah, I remember, I think it wasn't the most impressive costume, but it was one of the last ones I saw when I went. And I was like headed to the hotel for the night right before I had to leave the next day. And I was crossing the street, and all of a sudden out of the door in the other hotel across the street that I was going to, comes out the door, and it's this guy, and he's probably standing like 9 feet tall. And it's a Transformers costume. It was Bumblebee, but it was from the new movies. And it looked exactly like it did in the movies. And I've never seen that costume again.
He was at Dragon Con again this year.
Was he?
Yeah.
Same costume. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really, really impressed me. I mean, it has all the lights and everything on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's upgraded it now so that it has the rotating cannon in the hand. So the parts in it now rotate.
Yeah. I was just really impressed by the guy who did the entire parade in the RoboCop outfit.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
All of the best costumers, the elite costumers, quote unquote, go to Dragon Con.
Yeah.
It's a place to show off their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I especially liked the Brotherhood of Steel Fallout costume.
Yes, that was
amazing.
Oh man, that guy must have had some serious gonads to do that parade and that. He was carrying around the laser rifle too, and I actually held his laser rifle while I was there, and the thing was probably 60% resin. So
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that thing was heavy. That guy was probably like an ex-Marine or something.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a shoulder strap or anything.
Well, he had the physique for it too, which I think many costumers unfortunately do lack.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that, like, you know, V-shaped torso, muscular build. But he was also like small enough to actually fit in the costume and make it look right.
Yeah, superhero costumes are very, very popular at Dragon Con too, which is uncommon other places.
You can only see so many Batmans where it gets old.
Well, the thing is, at Dragon Con, though, you'll see people who you never see anywhere else. For example, you'll see, like, Dr. Fate, and you'll see Hawk Girl. You'll see Starman.
Action Man?
Well, they also do...
They even had Captain Planet.
They did have Captain Planet, and they have a really good...
Did you guys see Don Cheadle as Captain Planet?
Yeah. Yeah.
I turned you all into trees.
If you haven't seen that, go look it up.
Boom.
So, all right, well, moving on. You may have heard of it, you may have not. If you haven't, you're going to now. Star Wars is out on Blu-ray now. Really? You can buy either trilogy in a box set, or you can buy both trilogies in one giant box set. And I have it. I know Pinocchio has it. Anybody else have it on here?
I don't even have a Blu-ray player.
Buy digital. Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
Still watching VHS. Yes.
So me and Pinocchio have it. So.
High five for NTSC.
Yeah. Arden and I actually sat down. We watched Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones over 2 days. And wow. It's actually, I mean, they actually made some minor changes to those. Nothing.
Wait, did they add that much that it took you 2 days to watch the first two?
No, we watched one the first day, one the second day. Come on.
Yeah, but why?
We couldn't stomach two. I couldn't do two prequels in one day. I'm
Jar Jar Syndrome?
Yeah. I did all three and two, so.
Do you have cancer now?
I don't know. It seemed to me like they did add a few small little things here and there, but nothing too drastic.
CG.
They made Jar Jar look yet more derpy.
Yeah, like for some reason, like all the CG looked pretty good except for Jar Jar, which I thought was really weird because I always remembered his CG not really looking like anything that stood out, but. Everything in the background, like all the animals running around, that first scene where you meet Jar Jar, they all look, you know, perfectly natural and really good on screen. And then you see him, and he's like, I don't know, it's almost like he's glowing against the screen. And it's really awful.
Hmm. Oh, the Jar Jar blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sparkly, glowy.
wait. No. Brain, stop it.
But they are pretty good.
Drinks your blood with his duck bill.
They did make some changes to the original trilogy, which I found actually kind of funny.
They keep changing
the original trilogy, but yet they hardly even touch the new ones.
Yeah, I heard that the console shoots first now.
So YouTube. Does the trash
console
compactor.
Shoots first.
Yeah, some of the confirmed changes. Ewoks now blink.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that one too much.
Yeah, I kind of agree with it. It doesn't look that bad, actually. It's very, very subtle. Unless you're looking, I mean, it's not like their entire head, you know, blinks or anything. I mean, it's just a little lid or something.
Blinks now, so I've
down
heard.
For half a second. So, but then there are some other changes which have gotten a lot of media attention. You might have heard of them. The first one I think that we should probably talk about is Vader saying no, and actually. Here, let me actually put a little bit of a clip of audio in here when I edit it. So here we go. Here is Vader saying no.
You will die.
Yeah, that's right. No. So, do we really need Vader saying no?
Not anymore.
No.
I mean, it has to rhyme, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's almost as clever
like
as rhyming.
Yeah. It's a tone poem. You don't understand. Yeah. Okay? It's like stanzas that get repeated within the poem.
Yeah, it's like the Goongas, yeah, right?
Alternatively, it's stupid as hell.
Yeah. I mean, like, the whole point of that scene was that it was. I mean, you see Vader turn to the left. You know he's thinking. And then, I mean, it's just. I don't know.
Then he turns to the right and chucks the Emperor off a cliff.
The sad thing is, I think Lucas may actually be right in the terms of this because the average intelligence of the average American has substantially decreased.
The other thing is, it's now being tooled far more to watching episode one first as opposed to episode four first.
Now
it's the saga of Sad Vader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why they're trying to tie in those types of things. Because
his
now
name
most
is Emo Ken Skywalker.
But, I mean, if you look at it, if it started at episode one and people watched it consecutively, one through six, then it would make a whole lot more sense to have the no in there and all that stuff. The
fact it didn't make sense for him to have no in there in Revenge of the Sith.
The fact of the matter is it still works way better.
Honestly, I think they would end up killing themselves before they even got to episode four. Like, if you just had to watch all three of the prequels and before you could watch the good Star Wars.
I still think it flows a lot better not knowing, you know, who Vader really is at first, and it's all that suspense and how they had it originally, but...
Oh, yeah.
He has taken it the way he wants to take it, and he's always done that, so...
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a good change for for this set. Mm. Vader is actually not Anakin.
What?
Yeah, have, like, some scene at the beginning of, like, you know, A New Hope or something, some, like, really awful scene that we could all get behind, though, where, like, Anakin dies, and they have a new guy in Darth Vader's shoes, and then we can all, like, go back to our happy places.
It's Don Cheadle.
Retreats.
You know, I could get behind that.
Don Cheadle Vader.
New lightsaber. It's green.
Aha! We've got James Jones from Coming to America.
Yeah. Do you guys actually know if there was blinking on the Nemodians in episode one?
Yeah, I think there was.
Were done with animatronic heads.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
As opposed to CGI, so yes, they did blink.
Yeah, I didn't remember them blinking before. It may have just been because I've always watched like VHS and DVD of them.
Chewbacca and Admiral Ackbar all blinked in the original movies, so I would imagine that the Moidians with 30 years of newer technology probably do too.
But why didn't the Ewoks? They were just like evil
because
petty.
The Ewoks had to have really small masks because they were all on top of very small people, and they had to make like 3,000 of them.
Well, whereas when Chewbacca blinked, it was just you know. The actor blinking. That wasn't animatronics.
I understand that.
That's very true.
But that's why he has blue eyes. It's but
beautiful blue eyes.
Beautiful blue eyes. But
then every other Wookiee in like KOTOR always has like black eyes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so does Chewbacca. How the hell are you gonna tell? You sit there and you peer at him and you're like That's more of a nod to Peter Mayhew than it is like an actual indicator of anything in universe. But
so another change that they put into the movies was, well, actually, you know what? Here, we'll just put them back to back: the original first, and then the Blu-ray. So listen to this. It's really awful. Like
isn't the original one
was so much better. It's so iconic almost.
Isn't this the third time that this has been changed? Like,
they changed it in 2004, I think.
Yeah, like the special editions had a new one, and then this.
It was actually the first noise it was something that sounded a little bit like the Tauntaun. It was a lot shorter. It was just like...
Yeah, it wasn't.
And then they
did
the second one where it's like a howl, where it's like, like it's got a siren at the front of it.
Yeah.
And then they changed it into this one, which sounds like an old man stepping on a Lego.
Yeah. The stepping on the Lego one is a hilarious YouTube video.
It's just awful.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I hate to say it, but it sounds like somebody like strung out on like drugs or something, like howling at you across the street.
He's strung out on them midichlorians.
He's on death sticks, and he's just like,
where are we going to get some crack?
That's why the Tuskens are running away. They're like, oh crap, it's Obi-Wan.
He's gonna
Obi-Wan got some crack.
That's what they didn't show you in episode 3, is he actually went back and bought a bunch of death sticks and then went to Tatooine and was just living off of them for the last 20 years.
He
lived out in the middle of the desert with no food. He's just got his moisture evaporator and death sticks.
Yeah. He was out of his mind.
That's why they didn't
joke.
That's why Owen didn't want, you know, him following Obi-Wan on some damn ballistic ice.
Why? Yeah, because he didn't want him blazed out of his mind.
So Well, that's a theory.
Pretty solid theory.
That's classic.
I feel like that's more credible than midichlorians, personally.
Death sticks in them. They bind us, they penetrate us.
Really, Elvira.
Alright, let's move on.
Tangentially, also at DragonCon. She's like really hot for 60.
What?
Elvira. She's like really hot for being 60.
Anyway.
Next.
Just to put a plug out there, if you haven't heard, Celebration 6 is going to be happening next August 2012. It'll be in Orlando, Florida. If you want to come and join us, see the Mercs booth. We're going to have a nice giant display. A bunch of people there. We're hoping to have probably 80 or 90 Mercs there if we can make it possible. So start saving your pennies. We have a room block, I believe, which we still have some rooms open.
Yep.
So you can go reserve some of those. It's not as cheap as some of the rates that they're advertising, but it's right on. We have an entire block of the hotel reserved for us.
Party time.
So you can find that information in the events section, I believe.
Which basically means you'll be able to run around nude and be embarrassed.
Well, if you want.
Yes. Yeah.
We won't condone it, but you can. I don't care.
I mean, we're not going to condone it.
There will be a kiddie pool.
It really depends upon how high, honestly.
Yeah, and bring wigs if you... what other stuff can you bring to make an experience fun?
Matching swimsuits. Buy a swimsuit that matches your helmet.
Yeah. Pool toys. Yeah. Things like that.
Pool toys? That doesn't
sound like inner tubes and stuff like that.
That doesn't sound sexual at all.
Well, sorry. So, but that is probably all the time that we have for this month. We will check in with you guys again in November. And until then, we will see you.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.